Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, September 11th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Before we begin today's show, let's take a moment of silence in remembrance of those we lost in the tragedy on September 11th. May their souls rest in peace. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet radio talk show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. Remember, anyone can achieve their fullest potential. Who we are might be predetermined, but the path we follow is always of our own choosing. We should never allow our fears or the expectations of others to set the frontiers of our destiny. Your destiny can't be changed, but it can be challenged. Every man is born as many men and dies as a single one. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Our topic is using barriers as stepping stones to achievement and success. And our guest today is Lillian Lincoln Lambert. Let me tell you a little bit about Lillian. As the first African-American woman to receive an MBA from Harvard Business School during the tumultuous 60s, Lillian Lincoln Lambert draws upon her experiences to show how to use obstacles and barriers as stepping stones to higher levels of achievement of success, hence the title of our show today. She is a passionate speaker who uses the power of storytelling to inspire her audience to dream big, act bold, and pave their own path to someplace better. In January of this year, her memoir was published by John Wiley & Sons, and it's titled The Road to Someplace Better, From the Segregated South to Harvard Business School and Beyond. Though she was born in the segregated South, Lillian sensed in her heart and soul that a better life awaited her. And so at a very young age, she went to New York City and Washington, D.C. to seek her future. And she found it. She got a BA degree from Howard University and an MBA from Harvard Business School in 1969. And that was the era that was linked with civil rights and women's rights. So you can imagine how much strength of character and how much commitment to purpose it took for Lillian to achieve that. After Harvard, she became an entrepreneur, very successful, president and CEO of Centennial One, Inc., and she founded it in her garage for a few thousand dollars and grew the company to $20 million in sales with more than 1,200 employees. So today's guest truly embodies what the show is all about. Find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy. Welcome, Lillian.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's my pleasure to be on your show today.
What was the driving force that led you to your accomplishment? As I just said, that was a very tough time, both for civil rights and for women. So what drove you to this accomplishment?
Well, there are a number of factors, I think, that attributed to it. But if I had to pick one, I would say my mother, who was a real supportive person. She's very low-key. And my mom received a BA degree in the 1920s, which was very unusual for a black woman to receive a degree, a college degree. And she always told me that I could do whatever I wanted to do if I wanted to do it bad enough. And I guess I just sort of took her at her word And I tried a number of things before I finally got on the right path to achieve my dream. So I think her support, encouragement, and growing up on this little farm in Virginia that to me had very little to offer was a motivation to seek something better, although I didn't know exactly what that meant at the time. But I knew there had to be something better than this little farm I grew up on. So I started out to find out what that was.
And so
along
that
the way, I guess, my journey, it took a number of twists and turns to really get on the right path. But I kept trying and using my experiences to get me from one place to another without allowing any of those things that I encountered to deter me.
That's fantastic, and that's actually what it takes. You have to be so committed that none of the obstacles that cross your path stop you. Did you have mentors, coaches, sponsors, or even some mystery ones working in the background?
Well, I guess I would call them maybe. There were a number of people along the way who seemed to always be there at a time that I needed somebody, and I really call these people my guardian angels. They seemed to be at the right place at the right time. For example, when I had been in New York, just sort of floundering for a couple of years, and I went home and stayed a while, and I was headed back to New Jersey with my two brothers. My mother didn't seem really very excited about that. And on the way, I stopped by one of my aunt's houses, and she didn't think I would be going to New Jersey with my brothers. So she got on the phone and called a friend in D.C. and asked her if I could stay there. So my brothers dropped me off in Washington, D.C., and which was probably the best thing for me then. But this lady didn't know me, but because my aunt asked her if I could stay there, she allowed me to stay and told me I didn't have to pay rent until I found a job. So it's people like that that were all along the pathway. I remember a lady when I was in college who happened to, I knocked on her door to looking for a place to stay, and she took me in and I stayed with her for, I guess, almost 3 years. They seemed to be there at the right time when I needed someone. So I guess I call them my guardian angels. And I guess my first mentor was probably when I was in college in Howard. A professor literally took me under his wing, helped me find my way through college, gave me a job as a student assistant because I didn't have any money. I had to work the whole time I was in college. And he's the one who convinced me that I should go to Harvard. So those people were there sometimes when I least expected someone to be in place. And I sort of capitalized on the opportunities they offered me.
That's what I call providence.
You're right. I think you're absolutely right. Divine intervention or whatever, they were there when I needed the most.
Absolutely. They showed up. They showed up and guided you.
Right.
And provided guidance to help you make those stepping stones. After Harvard, you started and ran a successful business. Tell us how you started that business. How did
After Harvard, I'm not one of these people who always aspired to be an entrepreneur. Wasn't something I was exposed to as a child. And when I finished Harvard, I was thinking I'd go into corporate America and get a good job and work. But when I left Harvard, none of the recruiters interviewed me, and I really didn't seek out others either. And during the next 6 years, I had four different jobs. I worked as a consultant, an association executive, a stockbroker, and a college professor. And finally, a young lady with whom I had worked called me one day and told me her dad owned this small company, which was a janitorial firm, and he needed a consultant. So I went to work with him as a consultant. He offered me a job as executive vice president. I took the job, worked there for 3 years before I started my business. And I think the success of my business can be largely attributed to the fact that I had 3 years of solid on-the-job experience running another company, just like the one I was starting, which I learned a lot of things that I should do. I also learned a lot of things not to do. And I was able to capitalize on that experience. So I learned at someone else's expense. which is something I tell entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs now. If you're going into business, either go into a business that you really know something about or you've done major research so that you don't, it's not just trial and error. And those 3 years of running this operation was a major factor in the success of my company starting from day one. So that's how I ended up actually going into business. I was exposed to what the life of an entrepreneur was like. I got to see the behind-the-scenes things that go on. I think what happens many times, people decide they want to go into business for themselves, but they don't have a good understanding of what really goes on behind the scenes. They see the results of a person being in business, and they think it's largely glamour. But I can think of many long nights I had to work on doing proposals, wheeling with the bank, making sure I made payroll, all of those things. No one sees that happening. But as an entrepreneur, you have to be prepared to deal with the things that are expected as well as the things that are unexpected.
Absolutely. Can you share with us an example of something unexpected that you had to overcome as an entrepreneur? Even if one has a lot of experience in an area,
mm-hmm.
it's just normal that life throws you a couple of curves, you know, the road is not as straight as it appears.
I will share with you what I consider, I guess, the biggest curve that I was thrown doing my business. I started as a government contractor, and I was approved as an 8A contractor, which is was a government program established in the 60s, I guess, to assist, give minority business the opportunity to bid on government jobs, which was very difficult to do at that time. And, well, first of all, I had trouble getting approved for the program. They threw me a roadblock, and that, too, I had to overcome that. But the biggest challenge I faced was I'd been on the program 9 years, which was about the time they say you're supposed to be on there, although they didn't tell you that. And I got an unexpected letter from SBA telling me that I would be what they call graduated from the program immediately. Now, at that time, I was doing about $7.5 million in sales, $5 million which came through this program. So I was looking at losing two-thirds of my business within a six-month period. And that's very frightening. I don't care whether you're small, medium, or large. If you're looking at losing two-thirds of your business at any time, it can be a frightening experience. So I had to deal with that. Fortunately, I had put some things in place in anticipation of someday, which I hope would be sometimes in the future, I would no longer be able to be on this program. I had hired a young man to work as a marketing person with the very strict instructions that his job was to cultivate business in the private sector to replace some of my government work. And at the time I got this notice from SBA, he'd been working maybe a little less than a year. Fortunately, over the next year, 6 months or so, I didn't lose $5 million in business because some of the contracts he'd been working on came to fruition. And I ended up, I believe, losing about maybe $1.5 million instead of $5 million. But it still took me about 3 years to get back to where I was operational-wise, profit-wise, to overcome the unexpected being removed from that program. So that's the biggest difficulty I dealt with that just required me to rethink the whole business, cut costs, increase marketing, get my staff to support the changes that were going on in the company. That's my biggest hurdle.
And you overcame that and grew it to $20 million.
Right.
So obviously you did something right, and maybe some more guardian angels were there.
there were a few guardian angels in place, people who showed up at the right time with some contracts. What are they, guardian angels?
Exactly. So, but then you sold it. So what was the impetus? Why did you say, you know what, I think I'm going to make another right turn here?
Well, it's important when you're in business, too, I think, to know when it's time to let go. And another thing I advise aspiring entrepreneurs to do when you start your business, start thinking about your exit strategy. Mm. I didn't do that very well. I didn't think early enough. I started working on it, but it wasn't really in place. Because at some point, you know, as a small business owner, you are basically a business. And you, at some point, you may decide you don't want to do it anymore. You may get sick. You may die. Or you just anything could happen. What mm-hmm. happens when you're not there? Who's going to take over the business? Who's going to run the business? Do you have those things in place? And if you've done a job of planning, say, over the years on what your exit strategy is, you can just put it in place. Now, you may never use it. You may decide you want to stay there forever. That's an option you have. So I had reached the point that I wasn't enjoying the business anymore. There were lots of changes in the industry, lots of labor problems, and with 1,200 employees, it was really a real big job just keeping up with employees and all the paperwork required. And I wasn't enjoying it anymore. And I think I may have stayed a little bit too long, but didn't get out at the right time and had hoped my daughters would take over, but that didn't work out right. I didn't bring her in at the right time, I don't think. And that's all very important. You have to know if you have children, do they want to be in the business?
Mm,
can they
true.
Run the business?
Yes.
They may have completely different aspirations than what you think they should have. So all those things are very important when you have a business and thinking about it. It all becomes a part of developing your exit strategy.
Very
and
powerful.
And at that time, too, I was ready to move out. So.
Well, that also helps. But what you just said is very, very powerful in as much as you have children and your children may not want to do that.
That's true.
And so if you haven't thought about an exit strategy, as you just said, if you're unprepared, it can create great difficulty.
Right.
So
if you're not really that interested anymore and don't want to be there, you're probably not giving it all you should. And the business can begin deteriorating. So you want to be sure that you are headed in the right direction as far as what do you do when you want to leave.
Exactly. True. And, of course, if you don't have that passion that you did at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
right, then instead of being invigorating, it's draining.
Right. It's like, oh, I got to get up and go to work this morning. I don't want to go there. When you get to that point, you need to be gone.
Absolutely. So now you have a new book and new dreams. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you said earlier, my book was published in January of this year, and I've been on the January, February, March, and April. I've spent a lot of time on a book tour. What I'm doing now, I'm doing a lot of speaking engagements, sharing my story with people as hopefully an inspiration to show them, using some of my own experiences, how you can do things that you may think you can't do, and using all of your inner strength and guidance from other people that you can accomplish what you want. It's just that you have to plan to do it and follow a path that leads you where you want to go. And amazingly, I have run across so many, particularly a lot of women, and talked to a lot of young people too, who could share with me afterwards that, you know, I wanted to go back to school, or I wanted to do this, or I wanted to maybe stay on with my kids, or whatever it is they wanted to do, but they were being influenced by what other people thought they should do, or lack of confidence in themselves that they can achieve their goal. And that's been a very invigorating experience for me, just hearing people talk about how certain things in my book resonates with them in their life. They either have experienced something very similar or have thought about things very similar. And I'm finding this quite rewarding, just sharing my story with different people and talking to them about how they can achieve their goals in life if they really want to do it bad enough, and making sure they understand that it's probably not going to be easy, but it's doable. So I'm not doing as much on the book tour, but I'm doing speaking, and the book is sort of related to that, but the book shares a lot of experiences that I call it, it's my memoir, but I also call it a roadmap that other people can use in either in the similar way that I did or develop their own roadmap based on what they've gotten from the book. And it was not my intention to write a book. That's not what I initially planned to do. I had a number of other people who told me that I should put this in, on paper. And since I've written the book, I've run across many people who say, you know, I can relate to that, and I did a very similar thing, and the difference is you put your own paper, yours on paper, and I don't have mine in writing. And that is a difference. Much of our history is verbal. We have not written enough of it so that others can benefit from our experiences years later. So hopefully this will be some of history. That there are many people who didn't realize that I was the first African-American woman to get a Harvard MBA, or that that was even an issue, and that it didn't happen that long ago, really. They didn't allow women into the business school until 1963.
I know. It
was typically a male environment. They trained men to be successful business managers, and that all changed during the early 70s. So there's, it's just information that people are not aware of, and ways that we can share it is having it in a written form.
Absolutely. So tell me, we have a few minutes here for the show. I'm yet to go, and I'm just wondering, how do you define success?
Okay, success is different things to different people, and it's very personalized things, and I try not to define my success based on what other people think success should be for me or is for me. And success changes, I think, as your life changes and you mature and have different experiences.
I totally agree.
Yeah, for me, success is, first of all, health is very important to me. And that is not something you can start being a part of your success later in life, because there are things you need to do when you're younger. And I've tried to do those things, you know, eating right, exercising. Matter of fact, I grew up on this little farm, and I didn't have much else to do, so I spent a lot of time exercising. It became a part of my life.
Yeah.
So that was a benefit, I guess. So that's good health is important. Having a good relationship with family and friends, social environment, and then having the resources, financial and otherwise, to do some of the things that I want to do in life, like travel and having a decent place to live, decent things that I want. But for me, money is not the most important thing. It is a tool to be used to do other things that you want to do, which also includes helping other people do things that they want to do. But that I try to use that as a tool, and I don't consider that the major measure of success for me, nor is my status in life. I am at a place where I'm comfortable with where I am, because I've done a lot of things I want to do, and I'm prepared to continue doing things that I see as important things in life now. I spend more time. I have two grandkids. I spend a lot of time with them. I'm remarried, so I'm been married for 12 years now. So I have a very good relationship. It took me a while to get it right, and that's another message I hope I sense in the book, particularly for young women. You cannot depend on someone else for your happiness.
No.
You have to make yourself happy. You have to be happy with yourself. And then someone else can add to or supplement that, but you cannot look to someone else for happiness. And I think I did that for a while until I realized that's my responsibility. And until
Absolutely.
I can be happy with myself, I cannot be happy with someone else. So I can
very, very true.
For you. Okay.
So do you have any final comments in these last 5 remaining minutes of our show for our listeners?
I guess I would say that people can do what they want to do. The main thing is they have to believe in themselves. And if you believe in yourself, that increases your confidence to do things going forward. And if you have confidence in yourself, you can pave your own path to wherever it is you want to go. And I would encourage the listeners to dream big. Whatever your dream is, dream big. Act on it. Act bold, even if sometimes it pushes you out of your comfort zone. And don't be afraid to pave whatever your path is, whether other people agree with it or not. Whatever it is that you want to get out of life, develop that path that leads you there.
Very, very powerful. Very powerful. Thank you so much,
and thank you,
Lynn,
for having me. I feel
for the great. Wonderful interview.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. Our next show will feature business mentor, coach, social media strategist, author, and international speaker Des Walsh, who will be joining us from the Gold Coast of Australia. And he will be speaking to us from Australia on the clues for championing social media in the corporation. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois, and I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I leave you with these words. Until then, I leave you with the words, the next time you get nervous about others' opinions, mentally look them in the eye and say, what you think of me is none of my business. And then you can continue to find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy. Remember to tune in next month, and in the meantime, visit me online at www.YvonneFBrown.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at Yvonne@YvonneFBrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.YvonneFBrown.com. YvonneFBrown.com. To share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.